Welcome to Field Recordings for Atmospheres Masterclass in Ableton Live 12, using only stock packs and stock devices. This is an intermediate lesson aimed right at that drum and bass and jungle sweet spot, where atmospheres aren't just decoration, they're the glue. They're the thing that makes your drop feel like it's happening somewhere real, not just drums and bass in a vacuum. By the end of this, you'll have a repeatable workflow and a mini ecosystem built from one or two field recordings. You'll turn that single source into a wide loopable bed, a dark tuned drone, a pulsing rhythmic texture, and a transition riser plus an impact. And the big idea, all of those elements will feel connected, because they came from the same world. Before we touch anything in Live, here's a mindset shift that instantly improves results. Decide what place you're building. Not I need an Atmos, but where am I? Are we in a tunnel, a warehouse, a rainy alley, a forest at night, a train station? That one decision tells you how bright or dark to filter, how close or distant the reverb should feel, and whether the movement should be calm or nervous. If you don't pick a place, you'll keep adding layers trying to find identity, and it gets messy fast. All right, let's set up the session. Set your tempo to somewhere between 172 and 176 BPM. Classic rolling range. Then create four groups: drums, bass, atmos, and effects or transitions. Keep it organized now so the arrangement later is painless. If you can, pick a key. It's optional, but it really helps once we make tonal drones. Something like F minor or G minor is a common dark D&B zone. Don't overthink it. Just choose a home bass so your drone can reinforce the root instead of fighting your bassline. Now we need field recordings without leaving Ableton. Go to the browser. Open packs and use the search bar like a weapon. Type in words like ambience, atmos, field, room, noise, final, crowd, rain, wind, texture. You're looking for something organic that isn't overly musical. Try not to grab something with a clear melody unless you specifically want that. Pro move, loop your beat, or even just a simple kick and snare, and audition samples while the groove plays. Don't audition in silence. Atmospheres are mixed decisions, not just sound design decisions. Pick one or two recordings that feel like a good raw location. Drag your chosen sample onto an audio track inside your Atmos group. Now we're going to make a clean, loopable bed. Turn warp on. For general ambience, complex or complex pro usually behaves. For noisy textures, texture mode is money, because it can smear things in a pleasing way. If you're in texture mode, try a grain size somewhere around 80 to 200 milliseconds as a starting point. Find a section that's stable. Usually 2 to 8 bars is perfect. Set your loop, then zoom in and check the loop points. If you hear clicks, it's almost always your loop start and end cutting through a transient or DC-ish shift. Nudge the loop points slightly, or choose a more consistent region. Clean loops are a big deal because a click ruins immersion instantly. Now let's clean it up with stock tools. Add EQ8 first. High pass it. In drum and bass, low-end discipline is everything. Start somewhere around 80 to 150 Hz with a 24 dB per octave slope, and don't be shy. A lot of field recordings have rumble you don't notice until your sub sounds weird, and your limiter starts suffering. Then sweep around 2 to 6 kHz and listen for harshness. If the sample has brittle fizz or annoying presence, cut 2 to 4 dB with a fairly wide bell. We want air, not pain. If your recording has low-level hiss or little bits of noise between events that distract, add a gate. And use it carefully. You're not trying to chop it into silence like a trance gate, you're just cleaning the floor. Start with something like threshold around minus 35 dB. Attack a few milliseconds. Hold around 40 ms. Release around 120 ms and adjust by ear. Then add utility and push the width slightly, maybe 120 to 160%, just to get that bed wrapping around the track. We'll talk about mono compatibility later, but for now, we're building the vibe. Goal check. At this point, you want a stable, loopable, noise-controlled bed that sits behind the drums and leaves room for bass. Quick coach note on gain staging. Keep your full Atmos group sensible while you're writing. Roughly minus 18 to minus 12 dBFS RMS-ish as a vibe. If the bed feels quiet, resist the urge to just crank it. Instead, we'll make it read with contrast, movement, ducking, filtering, and width automation. That's what makes Atmos feel present without taking over. Now let's turn that field recording into a playable instrument, so we can get drones, pads, and tonal layers. Create a new MIDI track and load your sample into Sampler. You can drag it straight in. For drones, we'll usually use classic mode. Turn loop on, and set the loop region over a steady part of the recording. Zoom in. Avoid obvious transients. If you hear clicks, adjust the loop points slightly. Sometimes just moving the start a few milliseconds fixes everything. Now tune it. This matters in DNB because the bass is so dominant. Use simpler as transpose until the drone supports your key. If the sample isn't clearly pitched, that's fine. Tune by feel. You're aiming for reinforcement around the root area, not a perfect note like a synth. Now we add motion, stock only. Put auto filter after simpler. Use a low pass 24 dB filter. Set the cutoff somewhere in the 300 to 2500 Hz range to start. Add a little resonance and turn on the LFO. Sync the rate to the grid. Start with 1/8 or 1/4. Keep the amount modest, like 10 to 25%. The point is evolving motion, not listen to my filter LFO. Then add chorus ensemble. Try an ensemble mode. Keep amount around 20 to 40% and keep width in that 120 to 160 range. This can instantly turn a boring loop into a wide living thing. But here's the warning. Chorus is also one of the fastest ways to destroy mono compatibility. So we'll check that soon. Then add hybrid reverb. Choose a hall for size or shimmer very subtly if you want a slightly magical edge, but keep it tasteful for DNB. Set decay around 3 to 8 seconds. Pre-delay around 15 to 30 milliseconds. Low cut around 200 to 400 Hz so the reverb isn't muddy, and keep the mix around 10 to 25%. Personally, I often prefer using hybrid reverb on a return so I can control it across layers, but either way is fine. Now you should have a playable drone instrument that feels like it belongs to your location. Next up, the pulsing, rolling texture. This is the moving air. This is the drop is alive feeling. Option A is fast and classic. Auto pan is tremolo. Duplicate your bed track. Add auto pan. Set the shape close to square for a choppy Kate vibe. Set the rate to 1/8 for that rolling pulse, or 1/16 if you want it more frantic. Set amount somewhere between 60 and 100%. Then set phase to 0 degrees. That's important, because with phase at 0, it behaves like tremolo rather than left-right panning. After that, add auto filter and high pass at around 150 to 250 Hz so it stays out of the sub and low mid. A little resonance can help it speak. Option B gives you more groove control. A side-chained gate triggered by a ghost pattern. Create a MIDI track called Gate Trig. Put a tight closed hat pattern or a short clicky sample on it. Keep it simple. Then on your Atmos texture track, add gate, enable sidechain, and choose Gate Trig as the input. Adjust threshold until it breathes. Set attack 1 to 5 ms, hold 20 to 60 ms, release 60 to 180 ms. Now your atmosphere locks to your rhythm like it's part of the drum programming. Advanced variation if you want to avoid the obvious straight tremolo. Make a polyrhythmic pulse. Instead of a straight 1/8 feel, create a three-step pattern in your gate trig clip, or experiment with phrase lengths that imply 3/16 or 5/16 style movement. The result is motion that feels rolling and restless, but not like a generic EDM gate. Another very effective trick is to speed Atmos for jungle energy. Make one pulsing layer slower, like 1/4, focusing on low mid body. Make a second pulsing layer faster, like 1/16, but high-passed and quieter. You get detail and excitement without mud. Now we need to make sure the Atmos behaves in the drop. On the Atmos group, add a compressor and sidechain it from your kick, or from the full drum bus if you prefer broader pumping. Start with ratio 2:1 to 4:1, attack 5 to 15 ms, release 80 to 200 ms, and aim for 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction on hits. That gives you space for the transient, while keeping the atmosphere present. If you want a more obvious pump, swap to glue compressor, still stock, and push it a little harder. Just remember, pumping is a flavor. Clarity is the goal. Now let's do the cohesion trick. Build transition effects from the same field recording. First, the riser. Duplicate your field recording onto an FX track. Set warp mode to texture for that stretched, smeary lift. Add auto filter, and automate the cutoff opening from around 300 Hz up to 8 or even 12 kHz over 4 to 8 bars. Add reverb or hybrid reverb, and automate the mix from something like 10% up to 40% approaching the drop. Then add pitch movement. The simplest way is clip transpose automation. Automate it up by 7 to 12 semitones into the drop. That lift is classic, and when it's derived from the same recording as your bed, it feels like the whole world is rising. Now the impact. Freeze and flatten the riser at the peak, or resample it. Take a short chunk right before the hit, something like an eighth note to a quarter note, and reverse it so it sucks into the impact. For weight, take the same sample into simpler, pitch it down 12 to 24 semitones, add saturator with soft clip-on, and low pass it around 150 to 300 HE. Keep this low thump subtle. It's not replacing your kick. It's just giving the transition a cinematic body. At this point, you've got the core ecosystem. Bid, drone, pulse, riser, and impact, all related. Now let's place it in an arrangement like actual DNB. A reliable structure is intro, pre-drop, drop, breakdown. In the intro, 16 to 32 bars, your Atmos can be wide and proud. Bed plus pulse and texture plus a filtered drone that starts darker. This is where you establish the place. In the pre-drop, around 8 bars, you build tension. The riser grows. You can narrow the stereo width slightly as you approach the drop, and you can band limit the whole thing to create a tunnel effect. For example, gradually pull width toward 100% and use EQ to push the high pass up and the low pass down, so it feels like you're hearing the world through a corridor. Then on the drop, snap back. In the drop, 32 to 64 bars, do less. This is where a lot of people get it wrong. They keep the same massive reverb and width from the intro, and the drums lose punch. Instead, reduce density. Keep a sidechain to bed low in the mix. Tuck the drone deeper and filter it to avoid clashing with the bass mids. Let drums and bass own the center. In the breakdown, bring the Atmos forward again. Pull drums away, emphasize space and movement, and let the world breathe. Here are a few automations that make Atmos feel arranged instead of static. Automate utility width, maybe 160% in the intro, then 110 to 130 in the drop for focus. Automate auto filter cutoff so it opens slightly every 8 bars. Automate reverb sends at phrase ends, like bar 8, 16, 32, for little reverb throws that feel cinematic. If you do long reverb throws, a very clean trick is to sidechain compress the reverb return from the drums, so you get the tail between hits instead of smeared over the snare. Now, common mistakes to avoid, quickly, because these are the ones that will sabotage you even if your sound design is great. Mistake 1. Leaving low end in the Atmos. High pass aggressively. Often 100 to 200 HC is totally normal. Mistake 2. Too much reverb in the drop. Big verbs are addictive solo. In context, they blur your groove. This audio version is shortened for playback.